Revelation 18th chapter. David, can you turn this up a little bit, please? Eighteenth chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Let's start at verse number 1. It says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. For much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, your wonderful word. I thank you for the great privilege you give us, Lord, in having it, and Lord, being able to read it and to study it, and Lord, knowing that each and every word, every jot and tittle of it is truth. And we thank you for that. And once again tonight, I ask you for the power of God, for wisdom from you, and I ask you, Lord, to use this message to help us and encourage our hearts to love you and live for you, and Lord, to recognize the fact we're in the last days. You help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to continue tonight on the study of the fall of Babylon. And as you remember, chapter 17, we discussed the fall of the religious Babylon. Chapter 18, I believe, covers the political Babylon and the great city there that's going to fall. We're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. I want to go back into some prophecy back in the book of Isaiah, I think 13th chapter, first of all. We want to read a few scriptures and try to bring us up and show us how God had prophesied this long before it come to pass. In the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, if you remember over in verse number 2 that I read, and I'll reread it, he says, "He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." We go back into the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, and we see verse number 19, and it says, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Now, in that verse of Scripture, he gives us an inkling of the severity of the overthrow of Babylon. If you remember when Lot went out of Sodom, and in that area is there, Sodom and Gomorrah, and left, and the Bible says that God rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, literally covered it, burned it up in a very short period of time. Somewhere they think underneath part of the Dead Sea is where Sodom and Gomorrah actually set. And so when he says this about Babylon, he's telling us something most definite. It's going to be a horrible overthrow, and it's going to be likened unto the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, "And it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now God has given us a description there back in the book of Isaiah, 13th chapter, of the fall of Babylon. And he tells us that at that time, when that fall comes, it will never be inhabited again. Now that is not true today. There is not a lot of people that live there, but there is people in the area of Babylon. They live there, they pitch their tent there, and they're even rebuilding part of Babylon. He's talking about a time when there will be such devastation to that Babylon, wherever people want to believe it is, and I'm going to tell you tonight where I believe it is. Okay, it's Jasonville. No. But anyway, at least I got your attention, amen. I mean, this is a wicked place. I mean, I'm telling you, amen. But anyway, we're going to talk about it tonight. But wherever you might believe it is, we know there is a Babylon. And we know that God is literally going to destroy it in an hour's time, as it talks about an hour time, a day, an hour. And he's going to destroy it mightily and greatly to the place where there'll be never, ever again any inhabitant will ever live there. Through the millennial reign, there'll be no one live there. And in fact, I think the Word of God tells us there in verse number 2 in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation what will dwell there. And we'll look at that if we have time tonight. But it's going to be great devastation. It's going to be likened unto the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. So just and remember, he talks about even here that the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and the satyrs shall dance there. And it goes on and on, as we've already read. But that's the kind of destruction that's going to happen to Babylon. I want you to go over now to the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter of Jeremiah. Verse number 38. I'm just reading this because it's not just one prophet saying it is good enough. In God's word, God says it once, that's fine, it's done. But many times God over and over talks about different things and gives other prophets the same message. In Jeremiah the 50th chapter, verse 38, he said, "A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beast of the desert with the wild beast of the island shall dwell there, the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein." Now, if you read this, you'll understand that that time has never been. There is some that want to say that Babylon has already been destroyed. She's not been destroyed as the Word of God says she will be destroyed with such devastation. There is people who live in that area. Not too many live in that area, but they live there. They pitch their tents there. As I said, there's a building program going on in Babylon. This, what we're reading about tonight, has never taken place. It's going to take place. According to the Bible, in chapter 18, it's going to take place. Now I want you to go over to the book of Ezekiel, the 26th chapter of Ezekiel. We're going to just kind of skim through the 26th chapter and the 27th, 28th. We're not going to read a whole lot of either one of them, but we're going to try to show you that God gave us, this Ezekiel 26, God gave us a picture here, an example of the end time Babylon's destruction through the destruction and warning that he gave Tyre. Tyre, as we told you last week, if I remember right, is north of Israel. It sets over on the Mediterranean Sea, probably would be in the area of what we know of now as Syria. And Tyre was a great commercial capital of the world. Everybody done business there at Tyre, as we'll see in this portion. But God begins in chapter 26. He's talking about Tyre, the nation. He's talking about the king, the prince of Tyre. And he's bringing a judgment against this nation. But it goes much deeper than that, and especially as you go through the chapters 26, 27, 28. He begins to talk about other things than just back there. It has a immediate meaning, which it meant with Tyre, but it also has a far-reaching, as it means with Babylon. And we're going to look at that by reading a few verses of Scripture. But in 26th chapter it says, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, Ah, she is broken, that was the gate of the people, she is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock." God says that, I believe, is twice in these chapters. He's going to make her like the top of a rock. In other words, going to be nothing left. It'd just be smooth and just be gone, be nothing left. And he says, "And it shall be a place for the spreading of the nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations, and her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, a king of Babylon, a king of kings, from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mountain against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee." I'm going to stop reading there, but what he's doing is giving a prophecy against Tyre and how he's going to allow Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to come and destroy her. Now this continues on as he begins to talk about this country, or this city here, this great city here. He begins to talk about it. He begins to expand that more into not just her, but in latter days. So let's look now at verse number 13 of chapter 26, and he says, "And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God." Here, when he talked about he will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, as we will read in the chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, you will find he says the very same things about Babylon. He says there'll be no more music in that city. There'll be no craftsmen in that city. It'll be also even the sound of the bride and the bridegroom. There'll never be another wedding in that city. He tells us that over in the 18th chapter. What he's saying here, the destruction is going to be so great that there'll be everything will be gone from it. And that's what he warns here about Tyre. And he said, "I will make thee like the top of a rock, and thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I am the Lord thy spoken it, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyre, Shall not the isle shake the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones, and lay away their robes, and put off their broidered garments, and they shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground, and shall tremble at every moment, and be astonished at thee." Again, I'm going to stop reading there, but you understand that he's giving the warning of that the devastation of this here destruction is going to be so great that the people will tremble at it. Same thing in the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, when we see the kings and the merchants and the shipmasters, all three of those type of people, it says, stand back and they are astonished at the destruction of Babylon. It's going to come great and so in such a short period of time. So then he begins to increase this, as we see in in chapter 27, I'm not going to read of chapter 27, but if you will read down through chapter 27, he mentions country after country after country after country that was merchants in Tyre. He even mentions, though, he even mentions Judah and the land of Israel, he says, was merchants. We mentioned that, I think it was last week, that that's one of the main, one of the problems, let me put it that way, one of the problems that Israel got into is when they began to get into commerce with other nations. Because it didn't only bring in their commerce and all that, it brought in their false gods, it brought in their people, and they began to mix and they began to marry and all those kind of things, and they got in trouble. I'm saying, I realize we are not Israel, but God, throughout His Word, wants His people to be a separated people. I preached on that Sunday night. You need to get a hold of that. You need to realize that you and I should be separated people. A separated people. And we ought to marry, God's people ought to marry God's people. Now that's just a saying. You didn't do that. I didn't either. Neither one of my, me or my wife, neither one was saved when we was married. And I over and over and over and over say thank you, God, for the grace of God and the goodness of God and what He done for us. He didn't have to save us, but He did. And so I thank God for that. But I'm saying to you, God's perfect will, when a person is a Christian, you're not to mingle in. You're not to get married to someone who is not a Christian. You understand that. If you know the Bible, you understand that. But you'll find in chapter 27, over and over and over, you'll find where he mentions, and he mentions name after name after name of country who became merchants of Tyre. In other words, Tyre was the commerce capital of the world. Everybody traded through it. And it is a illustration, it is a picture, it is a symbol of the end time Babylon, which is going to be exactly the same thing. Okay, only I think more so. Verse number in chapter number 28, and I'll read verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the sea, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic that hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Now once again, he's talking certainly to the king of Tyre, called Tyrus here. He's talking to him, no doubt, but it's a greater picture. You get into chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel, and you find out that he even gets to the place where he's dealing with Satan. He's talking to the king, the leader of Tyre, but he's talking about Satan. And if you'll look over in verse number 12, I'll read a few verses. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Who was that? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Who was that? Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Notice, and Satan was a created being, see. And he says, thou art the anointed cherub. Satan was an anointed cherub. And he's even here, and of course he started there in verse 12 talking about the king of Tyrus, but he's looking much deeper than that king. He's looking at the power behind all of wickedness. And he's talking about Satan here, and he says in verse 15, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. He was created perfect. God created Satan perfect, but iniquity was found in him. And he says, By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. And thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. You notice two different things there in that portion of Scripture. We're not really preaching on those tonight, but two different things that men lifted up their hearts over. One of them was riches. Men's hearts get lifted up. It's riches are more of a danger than we ever know. We think we can control riches, but most of the time we cannot control riches. I'll be very truthful. I think that's why a lot of God's people are not rich. I'm saying that honestly. I don't think most of God's people can handle riches. It's something that if we don't be careful, our hearts get lifted up because of them. And the other thing was Satan here. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty. How important he was and how beautiful he was. And he must have been a beautiful being according to the Bible. The Word of God, God must have created him as a beautiful, beautiful being. But his heart was lifted up because of that. Now, I've done all of this kind of background work just simply to say to you, this here, even though, is a picture of the end days, the destruction there. And, of course, Satan's man is going to be the leadership of this. The one, the Antichrist, whom gets his power from Satan, is the one also, and he's also going to be destroyed. As you know, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, him and the false prophet, about 1,000 years before Satan is cast in there with him. But anyway, it's all of these are pictures of the end time, and he's given us a picture of that great destruction of Babylon in the end days. I doubt very much, I don't think I do, you might. I don't think I really have the understanding of what Babylon really means to God. When you go back and you go back in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis and chapter 11, of course, in the book of Genesis, and you find out when that false religion began, that wickedness began, and they stood against God. And I wonder sometimes if we understand how horrible it is that men would turn to false worships and try to build themselves a tower and build them, and from that, down through the centuries, multitudes and multitudes have went to hell because of this false religion. Now that's a horrible thing to God. It's an abomination. And most of the time when you read in the Bible, when you find out about abominations and God's talking about abominations, most of the time when he's talking about abominations, it's false worship. It's idol worship. He's talking about the horrible abominations. And it's a horrible thing to him to have anybody worship a false god. He is the true and the living God. And it's horrible to him to have anybody turn to something else and worship that. That's why I say that we as Christians, we all have to be very careful what we put first place in our life. Now, we have to do that, folks. You have to be very careful. God is a jealous God. The Bible says he's a jealous God. Not jealous like you and I will be jealous, but he's a jealous God. He expects to be honored, and he's holy. And he expects his people to follow him and do as he says, you see. And so it's a horrible thing to walk against our God and turn against the Bible, the Word of God. All right. Now, I want to go back now to the book of Revelation for a few moments. Chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. If you remember when we preached through chapter 16, we came to the very last vial, the seventh vial, which starts at verse number 17. I want to reread that portion of Scripture, and it'll help us to understand something that's going on. It says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." Now this was the seventh vial. This was the last judgment of God that was poured out. It is done. God's judgment is over. Now, the things that's going to happen because of that judgment is not over, but the vial was poured out. Amen? And he says, in verse 18, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." You can imagine, and you read about the earthquakes that happened on this earth, And some of those are terribly devastating. I mean, all kinds of horrible stories come out of earthquakes. But this world has never seen an earthquake like this earthquake. It has never seen an earthquake. God said, I've never seen an earthquake like this. And listen to what happens. He says, and the great city was divided, I believe that's Jerusalem, into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Now, folks, I don't know how many cities that's talking about, but I do believe he's talking about of the nations. There's some major cities that literally are flattened. Major cities all across the world that are absolutely flattened. Now, remember, this is going on at the same time. This earthquake is happening. These cities are falling all over the world. And then he says this, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. In the midst of that earthquake, God said, Babylon, come to his mind. It's through this earthquake that God is going to cause Babylon to be destroyed. And he's going to destroy her. We'll read it in a few moments, the severity of that destruction. But he says that it came to his mind. And he says he's going to give her unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. You remember, we talked about that. But do you understand how devastating this must be if the islands are going to disappear? They're going to flee away? If the mountains are going to disappear, can you imagine the severity of the shaking of this earth? That's going to be a horrible, and it's going to be a worldwide thing. See, this is going to be going on at the time that these things are happening here in Babylon that we're reading about in chapter 18. And then it says, there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blaspheming God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. And again, not getting back into that, but those hailstones stones will be of the weight of 100 pounds. You imagine 100-pound weight. You try to go pick up 100-pound weight. I used to could do that pretty easy. I think I'd probably have a lot of trouble today doing 100-pound weight. I understand that the Bible talks about that the young man's glory is his strength. I understand that, you see, and ours is our gray hair. We got wisdom enough to know to not go pick up 100 pounds. Amen. That's our great. Get the young to pick up the 100-pound. That's what we do. Amen. So we're wise. But anyway, 100-pound weight, you imagine 100 pounds. And you think about that, that's going to be falling out of the sky. It's going to be a horrible thing. You understand that and how terrible that's going to be. I mean, the best we can understand it, we understand it. Now, in chapter 17, I want to show you something that it is not, just to make mention of it again. Maybe it will help us in when I said something that is not Babylon, I'm talking about, I want you to understand something that it is not. Babylon is not this. And in verse number 1, it says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, and Mother of the Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, or great wonderment, is what he was talking about there. In other words, we've seen the religious Babylon. We've seen this woman, and over in verse 15 of that same chapter it says, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where a whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are the beast. These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What I'm simply trying to make note of is simply this. In this destruction, and we believe it's going to be Rome there, I think we covered that, in this destruction, the kings of the earth are responsible for it. They burn her, the Bible says. They are glad to get rid of her. It's the religious Babylon. They want rid of her. And we see that. But over in chapter 18, when you see the destruction of Babylon there, you see the kings bewailing. They're not glad it's gone. That's where they made their money. And so it's not the same one. It's another city that God is going to destroy. I personally believe that this first one is going to be destroyed somewhere in the midst of the tribulation period, and that's when the Antichrist is going to set himself up as God in the temple of God in Jerusalem, and he's going to proclaim that. He's going to get rid of the religious Babylon. He's going to get rid of her, burn her with fire, destroy her. The kings of earth are going to help him to do that. But then when you get over here in chapter 18, the kings are crying and weeping over the destruction of this Babylon. Amen. And now just listen here when we get in chapter 18. Let me read verse 8 and 9 and 10. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And I want you to notice here again, it's God completely. He doesn't need man's help. Now, over in the other one, the Bible says the ten kings gave their power and they destroyed that religious Babylon. But I want you to know this is God's judgment upon this wicked Babylon. And he says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And once again, we're simply... It doesn't say they're weeping over the lost people who died in it. They're weeping because their money's gone. How they was made rich. They didn't care about the calamity that happened. I'm not saying there was some people there didn't weep and cry over some of that. But basically it says, you know what they're weeping over? No one will buy our merchandise now. Money. You see what a hold it has on them? Remember last week we talked about how commerce that's so great in this world today, I believe it's that which is going to be destroyed. God's going to take care of it. He's going to set up his own kingdom. And I think it's got people choked and a hold of, a grasp on them. Now, listen to me, you have to work, you have to live. It's a part of that we live in, but you don't have to be controlled by it. You do not have to be controlled. And that's what's happening. Getting a hold of people, even God's people, and getting a hold of them, and it becomes their way of life. You see, that's a danger. Now, look at verse number 20 of chapter 18. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. He said, rejoice, heaven. Heaven's going to rejoice. The world and the merchants and the kings and the shipmasters are going to cry. But heaven's going to rejoice. Ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Do you notice what he said? How? He gave an illustration. It's just like taking a millstone. You've ever seen a millstone? I don't know if I've seen one like they're picturing here, but I have a millstone at home. I have one of those that used to be on a thing where you turned it like this. You know, it's probably about that big. It's hard to pick up. It's very heavy. I've got one of those. But they took up a millstone. This angel picked up a millstone, and he cast it into the sea. And you know how long that would stay on top. It wouldn't float very good. I mean, and it makes a horrible splash. And he said, that's the way that God is going to destroy Babylon. I believe personally, I believe it's going to be just absolutely engulfed. I believe God's going to open up the earth. I think I believe fire and brimstone is going to fall. I believe it's going to be engulfed in it. I believe it's going to be just swallowed up, just like a millstone would be swallowed up into the sea. And God is just going to gobble it up and just destroy it. Nothing left of it whatsoever. And he says in verse number 22, and the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he is shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I might make mention that wherever this great city is going to be a place where the blood of prophets was killed. It's going to be a place where the blood of saints shed their blood. And of all that were slain upon the earth, we're seeing a place that God is marking out for us, a place which he brings great abomination upon, because of all started way back there years ago with the false worship, turning multitudes and multitudes and turning the world into the king's, committing fornication with her and turning and following the God of this world's ways instead of the real God. It's going to be a place like that, God said. And he's going to throw her into like a sea, like a millstone would be thrown and destroyed like that. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you over to the book of Zechariah. Fifth chapter of Zechariah. First of all, I want to read the few verses, and then we will come back and we'll talk about them. In verse number 5 in Zechariah 5, "Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And I said, and then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whether do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base." He says in the end time, and I might make mention that Zechariah prophesied after the remnant of Israel had returned to the land from Babylon. Okay, kind of keep that in mind. He prophesied to the remnant that went back to Jerusalem. He was a prophet of there. It was after the 70-year captivity. So what we're looking at is what he is prophesying is something that's going to happen. It's going to be carried into the land of Shinar. Now, if you are familiar with the portions of Scripture that talk about the land of Shinar, it's the place where Babylon is. Now, if you'll go back into Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 2nd verse, it talks about in the land of Shinar is where the Tower of Babel was built. It's where Babel was built. Okay? We're in the place where Babylon is. If you go back to the book of Daniel, the 1st chapter of Daniel, you'll find that it's mentioned that the land of Shinar is again mentioned, and it was talking about where they carried the idols from the temple over into the land of Shinar, which was, of course, Daniel was taken captive into Babylon. The land of Shinar is Babylon. Okay? Now, what he's talking about here, he sees a vision. He sees this ephah. An ephah is a measurement, probably the greatest dry measurement that they had in Israel's day was approximately like our bushel. If you would look, it was approximately close to our bushel. And so you can imagine what an ephah was. It was a measurement of like wheat or a measurement of grain, a measurement of something like it. And it was always been used as a symbol of commerce. In other words, we find here that there was a woman sitting in this ephah, and there was a lead weight upon her on the mouth of the ephah where she couldn't get out. But the woman sitting in that ephah was called wickedness. Wickedness. In other words, you put the two together. The wickedness of the commercial or commerce is going to get greater and greater. Listen to me. It always has been great. I know there is people who are honest businessmen. I understand that. I know that. But let me tell you, there's more out there that are not. I'm talking about big time stuff. I'm talking about wholesalers. I'm talking about worldwide traders that are not honest. They're doing everything for the dollar. And that thing is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. It's going to come down to the place where he's going to find a base. And in fact, that's what he said. He's going to take this ephod into a place in the land of Shinar and build a base, a house for her. I believe that's where Antichrist will rule from. You find that in the ephod was the woman. She was wickedness. There was two women that came, the Bible said, and had the wings of a stork. If you remember in the book of Leviticus, the stork is considered an unclean bird. And so here we find, and also a stork is known for its speed, how quick it can move. And if you'll notice here, these women are carrying this ephod. And he said, well, where are they going? He said, they're going to the land of Shinar. And they're going to set up a base or build a house there for her. Wickedness and the ephod together, I believe, is going to be the capital of commerce. And I think it's going to take place in the land of Shinar. And I believe it's where the Antichrist is going to rule from. And he's going to be the one that says you can either buy or sell without a mark. He is going to control all commerce. And I think he's going to do it from the land of Shinar. Listen to me. I would not argue 5 seconds with somebody over where this Babylon is. It isn't worth it. I don't know. You couldn't prove yours, and I can't prove mine. All I'm saying to you is what I believe is this. I believe there's going to be a quick building of the city of Babylon, rebuilding of the city of Babylon. It's going to happen very quickly, just like the storks move very quickly. It's going to happen in a quick time. You get a world together, you get all them nations together, the Antichrist nations who is ruling the earth. You get them together, they could build a city in no time. Now listen to me. It's all right if you don't believe that. I mean, honestly, you and I both believe it's going to happen, don't we? You know why? Because the Bible says it is. You and I both believe that. I personally believe Babylon is going to be rebuilt. I think it's going to be done quickly. I believe it's going to become the seat of the Antichrist, and I think it's going to once again become that great, great metropolis that has all of these things where it comes from. And another thing, I get ahead of myself. I want to tell you so much. But, you know, we talk about, we say, well, Brother Ross, how could it be built that early, that soon? I want to say something to you. You know, when the rapture comes, now you've always heard, and I've preached it, and I believe it, you know, we say, well, the rapture comes, the tribulation begins. But, you know, I don't know if there's some period of time between the rapture and the tribulation begins. And you don't either. I'm talking about in God's timing. If you get into this thing, there may be some time. There may be a few years. It may be a couple years. It may be a very short time. Does the peace treaty get signed immediately when the rapture happens? Does the peace treaty get signed that day? What I'm saying is, I don't know. I know it's very soon. And if you miss the rapture, you've missed it. You're heading for the tribulation period. I don't care when it is. But I believe it's going to happen very, very soon. But what I'm saying is, there's time in God's timetable for these things to happen. It's there. And I'm just simply saying to you, whether it's there or not, we know this. There is going to be a city. And God is going to look back from the very beginning of time when all of this began and all of that wickedness that happened from that point of building clear back there in Babel and carried on through even in today the multitudes of people who are deceived by that wickedness and wicked religions that leaves Jesus Christ out as far as the Savior of the world. All of that has become such a horrible thing, and God is going to destroy all that. To him, it's horrible when people go to hell. And it's because of all of this wickedness that's gone on. Now, I'm simply saying to you, there's coming a day when there's going to be a headquarters. There's going to be a capital of commerce. And God, and let me say to you, we don't have a city like that today. You look all you want. We don't have a city like it's described here. We got some great cities. But we don't have a city like that yet. It could become one, and it will become one, because Antichrist is going to set up his kingdom there. He's going to be a ruler there, and he's going to rule that from there. So I'm simply saying to you, we know this, bad day's coming. Babylon's going to be destroyed like a millstone picked up and cast into the sea. Gone forever. Never will be inhabited again. I didn't tell you this. We'll maybe get a little more into it next year. I believe during the millennial reign, I believe that's where, in verse number 2 of chapter 18, I believe that's where all the demons are going to... You know, that word hold in verse number 2, the word cage, it talks about the birds as a cage. The word hold means as like a prison. It's a place where I believe the demons of hell are going to be held till judgment day, right there in Babylon. Foul spirits, wicked demon spirits, also the foul birds of the air are going to be there. You wouldn't want to live there anyway, folks. Amen. And God says that no one will ever live, no inhabitant will ever live there again, ever again, because of her wickedness. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for the promise of your coming. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to look to these times and worry and fret over what's going to happen to us. Thank God we have a wonderful, blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We look for that. We trust that you'll come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.